Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Lamed Ches. We're holding the top line of the Omer at the end of the line, where the Gemara begins, Omer Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Omer Rav. As you know, back in the Mishnah, we learned that shlokois, things which are cooked, have a problem with Bishul Akum. And Bishul Akum is not only when I have a chashash that the goy went and cooked and put in it non-kosher ingredients. Even if everything happens to be kosher v'yusher in terms of the supervision mitashgucha, if it's cooked totally from beginning to end by a goy, then it has a din of bishul akum. The reason for bishul akum, Rashi already said in the Mishnah, is because of chasness. Just like we have the problem with pas, we have the problem with yayin, we have the problem with anything which is cooked, I'm afraid then that the goy is going to invite the Jew, come on in and enjoy a dinner with me, a feast with me. Everything is home cooked. Everything has the supervision of the chief rabbinical authorities of the entire universe. It's kush of yusher. Mishum chas is tomanish, because his son might marry his daughter, or vice versa. So now the Gemara tells us that since it's a din in bishul, and it's a din in getting together, which might lead to chasness, and if we have now two versions of Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak Omer Rav. The first version is that kol hanechal kamoi shu chai, ein boi mishum bishuli oivdik chom. Any type of food that you can eat raw, even though in this particular case the person cooked it, doesn't have a din of bishul. Because although it's not cooked, you see it's cooked and fields cooked and all the rest, but since you don't need to cook it, the cooking therefore becomes immaterial, irrelevant. It's as if it's still chai because you could have eaten it raw. And therefore the halacha of Bishul Akum doesn't apply. And this is the way they learned it, Besura Masna Hachi. However, but these are Masna Hachi, they said a little bit differently. Again, Om Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak Omer Rav, Ko She'ein Nechal Al Shulchan Melochim, L'laf Is Boy Esapas, Ein Boy Mishum Bishili Avdi Chavim. Anything which is not Nechal on a Shulchan of Melochim, L'laf Is Boy Esapas, as something that you would eat together with a piece of bread, anything that's not oila shulcha malachim, no din of bishul akim. Right, Yomara, my benai, l'choyra, these two are the same. Wouldn't you expect that anything which is oila shulcha malachim is something which is cooked and it requires cooking? No. Ikim and I have three nafkiminis. Dogim ktanim, v'ardi, v'daisa. All three of these, says Rashi, are not Nechal kemoishem chayim, but they're also not oila al shulcha malachim. So therefore, according to the first version of Rab, then anything which is nechal kemoishu chay, ein by mishum bishul akim, these are not nechal kemoishu chay. The small fish loch do require cooking. Ardi means mushrooms. They do require cooking. Daisa is farina. They require cooking. You can't eat farina. If any of you have ever seen farina in the box or in the container, you pour it into the pot or into your breakfast bowl. You can't eat it unless it's cooked. These three require cooking. And therefore, it's the first time they would have a din of bishul akim, it would be osur to eat them. Masha Enken, according to the second version in Pumpadisa, they're not oila al shulchan malachim. Now, many people ask, what do you mean that oila shulchan malachim? Doesn't the president or the queen of England, doesn't she eat farina in the morning when it's cold during the winter? And the answer is, of course. However, we're not talking about a shulchan melech. I was once in Buru Park many years ago. It was between Mincha Maariv by Rabbi Menashe Klein, Zecher Tzadik Lebracha. And he was giving a shir between Mincha Maariv, and he was talking about this halacha about oila shulchan malachim. He says, why doesn't it say in the Gemara oila shulchan melech? Why does it say shulchan malachim? Because it's talking about a royal feast when the Queen of England goes and invites the King of France or another king to go and eat together by a royal feast. By a royal feast, you don't find anybody deliberately going and dispensing sardines, dogim ktanim. They don't give out farina, and therefore it's all of those. Oyla shulchan melech, it's not oyla shulchan malachim. Therefore, no dinner bishulakim. Yeah.
If the problem of this is chasnas and fraternization, why isn't it totally in what people in that area eat? If the local peasants eat whatever, they eat farina, they eat oatmeal, if that's what they eat, and that's what will lead to fraternization and intermarriage, that should be usher. Why is it a steak dinner.
Okay, so apparently, the peasant that the goyish peasant that invited in his Jewish neighbor would only invite him in if he had something kosher to go and give him farina. That would not be a cause to go and invite somebody.
The opposite, that'd be the most sharing the simple food a peasant has would be the most likely thing to lead the Jew. Oh, he eats the same food I do. It's the most likely thing to lead to fraternization and intermarriage.
Do you ever invite people over to your home for dinner?
The Shabbos and Yom Tov.
Okay, do you go and give them sardines and farina, or do you go and give them a nice chulent and kugel and something more kosher?
Of course.
Okay, so apparently that's the same thing in terms of Chazal too. A person who wanted to go invite someone over to his home, he wouldn't go and give him such very primitive type of foods. I don't know, primitive is not the right word. Looking for everyday common foods, they want to go with something kosher. That's why every time you see that there is a royal dinner in the White House, they go and give you a picture of the menu in the paper that they ate to this and that and that. Of course, you have no idea what they ate because it's all written in French or Italian or something like that. But lemaisa choshev, and apparently these things are not dvarim choshevim. So even the regular plain folk didn't go and invite people for these types of things. It wouldn't lead to chasness, fraternization, etc. Nu shtikl. Om Rav Asi, Om Rav. Dogim ketanim meluchim ein behem mishum bishulei oivdei kechol. If you have dogim ketanim meluchim, which are already salted, and a goy would come and take these dogim ketanim meluchim, and he would cook them more, by adding, subtracting, adding spices and whatever, no din of bishulakim because it's not nechal kemoishu chai, but it's nechal kemoishu meluach, and therefore it's like nechal kemoishu chai, and therefore whatever cooking you're going to do is irrelevant. It's immaterial. I could have eaten these dog meluchim without the additional bishul. Therefore, the bishul doesn't count. Om Rav Yosef, im tzolon oydi gechavim. If the same goy goes and takes your dog and ketanim meluchim and he cooks them, tzolon needs to roast them, to cook them, what have you. Soyim Yisrael aleihem mishum eruv tafshilin. A yid is allowed to use them for eruv tafshilin. Now, there are really two halachas which are embedded in this halacha of Rav Yosef. Number one, a yid is allowed to go and eat it. Because if a yid couldn't eat it, you couldn't call it eruv tafshilin. Number two, it's also something which is mevushel. Because when you make an Erev Tafshilin on Erev Yontif, because of Yontif Mechabes, at that time, you don't go and put away things which are raw, you only put away things which are cooked. You take a cooked egg, you take a cooked piece of fish. The baking is separate. We're here talking about the cooking part. So in terms of the cooking, it's got to be something cooked. You wouldn't go and take, to give your example, the matzo or the bukla, you don't put together with that a raw tomato. Why not? Because tomato wasn't cooked. Whether it needs cooking or not, that will already be going into the question of, is nechel kamoishu chai or not? But the point is, you always put in something that requires and that had cooking. Bishul. Oh, does I. So now Rav Yosef is telling us, number one, it's kosher. And number two, he's telling us that it is considered to be a dover mevushel. So l'choyra, the two don't seem to work in tandem. It would seem to be a contradiction. If considered to be cooked, then how can you go and eat it? A goy cooked it. Ah, come on. It didn't really need the cooking. After all, it was meluch. Oh, it didn't need the cooking. So the cooking was irrelevant. The cooking is irrelevant. Then how is it considered to be a dover mevushel for purposes of Eruv Tafshil? So therefore, the Mefoshim explain that Rav Yosef is telling us that both of these takonois, the din of Isser Bishel Akam, as well as the din of Eruv Tafshilin, both of these are Rabbanans. And therefore the same Rabbanans were makel in both directions. What do you mean both directions? For purposes of Bishul Akam, they said that since it was Nechal Mishum Molchoi, because it was already salted, it was already edible, okay, even though the person cooked it, it's not considered to be Bishul, we are makel, and you can go and eat it. On the other hand, for purposes of Eruv Tafshil, which is also Rabbanan, so it's enough cooked for purposes of a Ruvev Tafshil. So this although in theory it seems to be inconsistent, but in practicality, the Rabbanu were Mekel in both directions. They said for certain purposes it is Mavushul, i.e. for a Ruvev Tafshil. For certain purposes it's not Mavushul, therefore you're allowed to go and eat it. It's not considered to be Bishul Akam.
So we're never worried about Moliach, Kavoseach, and Kavosh.
That we're going to talk about in the Omid Beis. We're going to talk about over there what happens if a Goy was the one that was Moliachit.
Right.
Here the assumption was that the Yid was already Moliachit. All the Goy did was he was now Mavashal, something that was already Moloch. We're going to talk in the Omid Beis, what about if a Goy takes the raw fish that required salting and he salted it and now it is edible, is that deemed to be Bishul or not? Right. That's what you're talking about. But Moliach Arifat, that's going to be in the Omid Beis. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara now, let's go one step further. The Avdinu Oivikachov. If the same guy went and took the small fishlach, the dogim tanimuluchim, and he cooked it and he made a kasna kasa deharsana, then already it's osir. Now, what exactly is a kasa deharsana? Explains Rashi on the first narrow line. You took the fishlach that we were talking about, that were already maluach, and tige means gepregled. Gepregled means to go and fry them. The murius shoymen dogim, we've had this murius already a number of times in the last few blot. That means the dogim, the kirve dogim, were all very, very fatty, and therefore you could use that as your schmaltz or as your frying medium. You didn't need to add oil. You had the shuman dogim itself, and you used to go and fry together with that kamach. You poured in some flour. And then, of course, you would mix it together, and you would fry it, and it was very, very gishmak, and it was delicious.
Right,
okay.
The Torah says that you're supposed to have this on Shabbos, right? The first simon in Hilchos Shabbos. Kasa d'harsana. Everybody has to have the least kasa d'harsana.
But only the Jewish kasa d'harsana. Not an Akkum's kasa d'harsana.
Right, that's in the next sif.
Oh, right? So we're ready up to sif base. The E of the Dinu Oit Gechom kasa d'harsana. If a goy made this Kasana Harsana, then it's Osir. Now, says the Gemara, now what's the reason why it's Taka Osir? As the Gemara is going to tell us in another line, as we just saw in the Rashi, the two major ingredients in the Kasana Harsana, besides the actual fish themselves, because cooking fish, we said, if it was already Maluach, no problem of Bishul Akum, but the problem that we did have is that you're cooking it with Shuman Dogim and with Kemach. Out the Shuman Dogim, again, that would not be problematic. The problem is the Kemach. Why is it not problematic, the Shuman Dogim? Because you can eat the Shuman Dogim without cooking. How do I know you can eat the Shuman Dogim without cooking? Because we had already a couple of blad ago that the way they used to eat the Murias was they took the Kirve Dogim, added to it water and melach and salt, they'd let it settle for probably a few minutes or whatever. It got out all of the strength of the Kirve Dogim, and then they would pour it off and serve it to people. And then they would do that a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time. And we explained already that by the time you got to the third and fourth time, the Kirve Dogim was already no longer so fatty, and then often they used to go and add in wine, and that's why the Gemara said the Pam Rishon and Pam Shni, it's okay, but the third time you have to worry about wine. Fine. Here we're not talking about wine whatsoever. Here we're only concerned about the fact that the fishlach, which were already ne'achal mishum molcham, so you were able to go and eat them. The kirve dogim, also the shuman dogim, was not a problem. You could have eaten that by adding water and salt. You didn't need to go and cook it. But the kamach required cooking, because if you didn't fry that kamach, it would be inedible. You can't go and eat flour. And so therefore, Zhoktochto Rav Yosef, the kasa of the harsin is osur because of the flour that's being cooked, and therefore that's a bishalakim. Frank Gemara Pshita, Shudchadova Poshin, anytime you're cooking something which is not Nechal Kamoishu Chai, then it is a bishalakim. But Amar, the same harsin, Iker, I would have thought that in this mishmash of the fish mash, that the Iker happens to be the fish, together with the kirve dogim and not the kamach, and therefore the kamach is only a toffle to go and probably give it some additional consistency. It's probably something similar, just like you have hamburgers. Some people make fish burgers and stuff like that, and they add in it some matzah meal or some flour to hold it together, to make it a little bit harder, to give it a little bit more texture. Gefilte fish, the best example is gefilte fish koyach mandi, that you go and put it into flour, you put it into matzah meal or what have you, and therefore I would think that that's not an ikr, it's a toffel, and therefore forget about it. Kamash molon, kibach ikr, or the kemach is an ikr, and therefore there is vishal akam, because you could not have eaten the kemach, kimoy shehu chay. Good. No shtikl, omar abru, omar rav. Oy vikachom shehitis esa, or bi agam. Ho ho ho. person has marshland. He has, today they call it wetlands, and that wetlands, there was a lot of growth coming out. You have all types of reeds and brush, and the person wants to go and clear it all away. So what do? He made a boire mi oirehu esh. He tisses or he went and made a gun to fire to clear away the brush from the agam. Guess what happened? In that agam, there were a bunch of grasshoppers. And now the fire, Baruch Hashem, has died down, but I see now a bunch of fried and roasted grasshoppers. The question is, are you allowed to go and eat them or not? Any of those chagom that were consumed in the fire as a result of this oivik chagom shiitzis, or asurim, they are asur. Now the question is, why are they asur? Hey, chidam. Is it because, as we know, there are certain species of grasshoppers which are kosher, and certain species of grasshoppers which are not kosher? In fact, we spoke about that yesterday. That was the first of the three inyonim of Reb Yossi ben Yezer, that he was matir ayil kamtza dochein, and there was a big machlokes about that. What exactly was an ayil kamtza? Was it a susbul or was it a shushiva? As you all recall from yesterday. Anyway, but the point is, once the entire marshland or wetlands have been burned down to a crisp, you find all of these roasted chagavim, you don't know which ones are kosher, which ones are not kosher, because they're no longer recognizable as a result of the roasting. Some of them have long heads, exactly, but I guess as a result of the fire, maybe some of them shrunk. So you can't go and tell which ones are the long-headed ones, which are the short-headed ones. So what are you supposed to do? Is that the reason?
There's a U on it. I'm serious. I know Demon, I told me once, when you turn over these grasshoppers, the kosher ones have, it looks like a gill.
Really?
Not an O, you're just a gill.
You turn the grasshopper over and you're like, okay.
That's how they know.
Yeah, okay. Very good. I don't know today what the Yemenites do, but certainly the Yemenites of yesteryear, they certainly ate them.
Moroccans, but the Syrians don't.
No, okay, but the Yemenites, many of them certainly used to eat them, and they, I remember Bochum used to talk about that they had a friend, a Taimina, and they were sitting at a table, and all of a sudden grasshoppers were there, whatever, and that everybody was shooing them away, and the Taimina went and took it, he looked at it, looks good. Made a brocha, and he ate one of the grasses. I assume that you do, but the Argamar doesn't go into that today. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so the Gemara says, is that the reason why? Because you can't recognize which ones are kosher, which ones are not kosher. Even if Israel went and he burned down all of the brush, and now you cannot discern which one are the kosher, non-kosher. Of course, it's us. If you don't know whether it's kosher or not, and there's no you and there's no OU. So how are you going to eat it? Hello! Since we're focusing on an oivet kechavim sheetis, it must be al spishalak, bishulav yichavim. Freiti mora, ki hai gavna mi oser, is the fact that the goy unintentionally fried and roasted all of these grasshoppers, would that aser it? Vom Rav Chanan bar Ami Yomer Pidos Am Rabbi Yochanan, hai oivet kechavim dechorech reisha, shori lemechel minei afilami reish unya. What happens if you have an animal that was now geshachten, and the person wants to go and cook the head of the animal to go and give tam to the children, to the soup, or whatever it is, and it has a lot of hair on the head. What can the goy do? He can go and put it over the fire, singe it, to go and remove all of that hair. As he does that, since he leaves it in the fire for a minute or two or three to remove all of the hair, guess what happens? The reish unya, meaning the head of the ear, gets now to a certain degree broiled or roasted in that fire. So Rabbi Yochanan said that even though it was a goy that went and was chorech reisha, removed the hair by singeing it, Shara v'meichel, and he allowed to go and eat from the ear. What's the reason why? He was not mechavin to go and cook, he was mechavin to remove the hair. This person who went and made a fire there in the brushes among all the reeds, he wasn't intending to go and cook grasshoppers. What he was intending to do was to go and remove all the brush, to go and see the land down below. So, Ibazoi, why should it be Asur? It should be Mutri. Was not Mechavin to cook. Nothing to do with Bishalakim. It goes based on the first reason. Once we have all of these roasted and broiled grasshoppers, it was impossible to tell whether they're from the kosher species or the non-kosher species. And we asked if that's the case, it has nothing to do with a goy. The Inuit of Yisrael went and did this hitzis or ba'agam, all of them would be aser. Says, well, you're right. This was not a halach of Rebbeinu Barav. This was a psak din. In a case we had a goy the hitzis or, and now we find all of these roasted chagovim, are they kosher or not? Can you eat them? Says Rebbeinu Barav, if you cannot recognize which one is kosher, which one is not kosher, of course you can't eat it. Nothing to talk about. If that's the case, what is the chiddush? And it could be perhaps that in that region, 99% of all of the grasshoppers were kosher grasshoppers, and therefore the assumption was that they're probably all kosher. Said Rebbeinu Rav, since you can't recognize, you can't go basa chazakis, you have to assume that they're all sveikis, and therefore they're all aser to eat. See, the Tosis also seems to talk about it. Second Tosis from the bottom, Ayin Shom.
Goof, what's up there? It's a burial. Why would we think it'd be bottled?
Not as bottled. If Derek Klal, in this region, there in that upstate New York, all the grasshoppers are typically kosher. It's a rare incident that it would be non-kosher. So can you rely on that? And the answer is you can't rely on it. Look, that's what it is. You just rely on the general chazaka that in this region typically everything is kosher. Oh, so it's Taka Machmir. Taka Osir. I'm sorry? Leunzernicht, they have to
match. This is what I was told.
So Leunzernicht. It doesn't pay. Rebellia says that the only grasshoppers that are worth eating are the big ones. The small ones, it doesn't have any meat on it, no flesh, it doesn't even pay. Okay, I'm asking.
So,
good. Gufa.
That's what I heard, yeah.
Okay, no problem. You see on the side, they take out a bachana, because this is the identical member that we had 10 lines earlier. And what did that member, or 6 lines earlier? And there it said, Rav Chonan bar Ami Omer Pedos Omer B'yechadon. Slightly different than Rabba B'chana Amr B'yechadam. Anyway, what did he say? A person who went and burned off all the hair from the top of the head of the animal. You're allowed to go and eat even from the ears. Amr Avina, Hilkach, therefore. If you have a goy that took a sichsa means a peg like you go and put into the ground to hold down things. Tent. Oh, say again. We had it in last week's Parshas Truma. Also, Rashi spoke about that they put these into the ground to hold down the kloyim and the amudim. If you want to discuss it further, feel free to speak to Reb Simcha because he is very, very expert at that. Rashi, you'll see after the shir. But anyway, so goy the shodash sichzi. If he throws a wet peg l'atuna into a furnace for the purposes of drying out that wet peg, the cover by Yisrael. Kara meikara. Little did this goy know, but a yid had put into the very same furnace, he put in a kara. Kara is a gourd or a pumpkin or a cucumber from that mishpucha. And guess what happens? A half an hour later, this delicious kara, as a result of the fact that it was nicely cooked and broiled inside that furnace, it's now roy to put on a kara. What's the halacha? Covered by Yisrael Kar Meikara, put in a car previously before the Oivik Chom even knew anything about this wet peg. Shapadami, it's Kush of Yush, you can go and eat from that car. So Zimar Pshita. What's the Pshita over here? The Gemara is assuming that this is related to the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan before. What did Rabbi Yechanan say before? When you had a goy that put on the fire, not for purpose of cooking, but rather to go and remove the unwanted hair on the head of this animal. Here too, he didn't want to go and cook. He wanted to go and dry out the sichsa. The fact that something else cooked at the same time, well, that wasn't his intention. And therefore, it's not considered to be bishul. I would think that when you're burning away brush and you're burning away reeds, that's not considered to be bishul. But when you're throwing in a wet peg, you want to go and strengthen that peg, and therefore it's like a bishul kalim, the bishulim monika machat. So it's not on all fours with cooking food, but it's also a form of cooking, if you will, and therefore maybe it would taka be asur. Kamash walon. That's why the Mar is telling us the shurei monika machat. This is not considered to be a binyan bikalim or bishul kalim. In fact, Rashi says, There's no such halachic concept of cooking kelim. You can only cook food. What did he do with that peg? The peg was to go and strengthen it, to make the peg nice and strong and solid once again. Until now, it was a wet peg. A wet peg, I guess, just doesn't do it for purposes of holding down tents and the like. However, if it's nice and strong, then it works. That's what he wanted to do, to go and strengthen the kli, but not bishulkin. Now we're starting to talk a little bit halucha l'maisedik. Person went and put basar agabik cholim on top of coals. Subsequently, a goy came, and he turned it over. It's mutter, you're still allowed to go and eat from that. Let's understand what's going on. Are you telling me that if the goy would not have turned over this piece of meat, it would have cooked and roasted anyway? So what did the goy do? All he did was he turned it over, but it would have cooked anyway. So a gornish katar. So of course it's kosher, it's mutter. What's the chiddush? The loyavach that had he not turned over this piece of meat, loyav a bashel, it would not have gotten cooked. So my mutter, without him, this thing would have remained raw. He is the one that cooked it. If he's the one that cooked it, navadish bishulakim. It's only tzricha the loyavach have a bashel b'tarti shoy. V'hashik a bashel b'chodeshata. Under normal circumstances, if you leave it on the coals on one direction only, without turning it over to the other side, it would have taken 2 hours. After 2 hours, it would have been gishmak and roasted and grilled and fine and good. But it would take him 2 hours. As a result of the goy turning it over, it goes much quicker. It goes in 1 hour. I would think that this going and being memaher, going and quickening the pace of the cooking, is also considered to be cooking. And therefore, it's still kosher. Thank you, Omer Asi, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Kosher kemachal ben drusoi ein b'mishum bishuli avdik chavim. Now, what's machal ben drusoi? Ben drusoi was a famous bandit. Rashi says listem hoya, and since he was always on the lam, always running from town to town, city to city, place to place, because he was a grozer bandit. In all the post offices, he had these big wanted signs, so everybody was looking out for this ben drusoi guy. Every time that he wanted to go and eat meat, he had to go and eat it quickly. So he ate it at what they call today medium rare. What's the definition of medium rare? Is it machloikas rishonim, where that means that it was a third cooked or a half cooked? But anyway, it was not fully cooked. It was certainly not totally well done, as they say. It was somehow medium rare, or just rare without the medium, just a third or a half, and that's how we used to go and eat it. So the Gemara talks about this machal ben drusoi, and in our case, Rabbi Yochanan says, anything which already was machal ben drusoi is already edible. It may not be your best food, maybe it's only achila al yedei adchak, but lamaisa it is edible. Ben drusoi did it all the time. So therefore, if a goy now takes that machal ben drusoi and he finishes it off until it's taka well done, because it was a nechal, not kemoishu chai, but nechal kemoishu kvar mavushal al yedei machal ben drusoi. So therefore, the goy didn't add anything. Aha. So let's be medayik. What happens if the yid had not cooked it yet a third or a half? It was only cooked 5%. Like the Gemara said before, he just put it down on the gecholim. So it was not machal ben drusoi, it was only 1%, 2%, 5%, 10%. What would happen now if the goy would come and he would turn it over and cook it further? I would say, yesh v'mishim b'shulei v'gecholim. But you just said a moment ago that if it would cook on its own, on its own, on its own, even though it will take 2, 3, 4 hours, but then, and here it says, yesh boy, is the chastira. Everything more hasim ki goyim de oisvei besiltza, v'shakli v'gecholim v'yoisvei betanura. Ah. The original case that the Gemara was talking about of Rav Yehuda Mishmuel is that the basar is on the gecholim, and it's roasting, and it's broiling very, very nicely. That people are smelling it, and they are also putting their marshmallows inside the fire because they like it. It smells good. I'm chayev. And now this goy comes and turns it over. And the yid says to him, goy, thank you very much for turning it over. We'll be able to eat a little bit more quickly tonight. But even without that, it would have done a great job without you. Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a situation where the meat had already been cooked, the mushel, this morning or yesterday, and it was already kemacha ben drusoi, and then someone said, well, we already had enough, let's go and put it in the refrigerator. Of course, the Gemara doesn't talk about refrigerator, the word silza, says Rashi, means a sal, means a basket. But think in your mind, they put it into the refrigerator, and presumably the ben drusoi bandit and members of his family were going to go and eat it the way it is, in the refrigerator. They'll take it out afterwards, and then they're going to go and eat it. Maybe they'll warm it up. But they were happy the way it was already cooked. And guess what happened? B'shakli v'chom, now a goy took that piece of meat, the ben drusoi meat, and he put it on the coals to taka, finish off, so it should be well done. Boys of the tanura. If it was taka fully cooked meaning kemach ben drusoi, that it's already nechal ideat chak, a third or a half, then what the goy did is zero is goodish. However, if it was taka only 10 or 15% cooked, it wasn't even the madrega of machab and drusoy, and they put it away in the refrigerator in the basket, and now the goy takes it out fresh and he puts it on the tanner, that's like a brand new cooking, then he would get nailed. Not he gets nailed, but the food would have the din of yesh boy mishum bishulak. So the difference is between whether it's still cooking, and all the goy did was to go and quicken the pace of the cooking, or whether in fact it was put away and they had no intention at the moment of cooking it at all. Maybe they cook it tomorrow, maybe tonight, some other time. And therefore now the goy puts it in the tanner, that's considered to be a brand new cooking. And if it's not kemach ben drusoi, then this piece of meat would be bishulak. Let's talk and bring a raya to Shmuel's original din. Tani Hochi Minichi saw a basal gabi cholim, a yid can go and put the basal down cholim, uboy v'chom hapach boy, and the goy can afterwards go and turn it upside down and turn it on the other side. Why is the goy busy with this? Because the yid had to go out to shul to go and daven, to smedish, to learn the daf. You don't have to worry about the fact that the goy was turning the meat. No din of bishul akim. Same thing. If a woman goes and puts a pot on top of a kira, on top of a stove, and now a goy comes in now. Umegisa. Megisa means to go and turn it. Like she made a stew, she made a chulent, and now the goit is stirring it. Until she returns from going to the base market or going to shul or whatever, you don't have to worry about it. So what do we see from this? As long as the original bishul was started by the Jew or the Jewess, even though it was finished subsequently by the goy or the goita, it is kosher. Then before I should talk about the fact, don't I have to be noivis that the goy or the goita put in non-kosher ingredients? Forgetting about the bishul akim, if the Jew went to Bis Medrash or the Beis HaKnesses, or she went Beis HaMerchus, Beis HaKnesses, nobody's around, shouldn't I be choishish for the non-kosher ingredients? So, the Mefarshim all come up with the same answer. We're talking about a situation where there was no chashash of non-kosher ingredients. Why? So one of the more firm answers is, it's talking about that they locked him or her into the house, they couldn't go out, and that house was a Jewish home, there was no other non-kosher ingredients, and presumably there was no milk, you don't have to worry about b'chalav, and therefore this was the only thing in town, this was the only thing in the house.
A fleshy kitchen.
A fleshy kitchen, so you don't have to worry about it. That was, if you will, a little bit of an extreme teretz. Other terutzim are, it's talking about that although he went to the Bismedish, or he went to the Beis HaKnesses, however, either he or somebody else was yoytze v'nichnas the whole time. Yeah, I'm talking going away for an hour, but every 5 minutes, every half an hour, he came in for a minute or two to go and inspect. So if you have, that's what you call mirsis. And Mephoshim that are even more makel in explaining the Gemara say that that's why if you, for instance, have a goit at home and she is in the middle of cooking, you should not tell her when you are coming back. In other words, if you're going from here to Brooklyn, New Jersey, Connecticut, or whatever, shopping, don't go and say, I'll be back in an hour. Just leave and say, I'll be back soon. And therefore, the goit is concerned, or the goy is concerned, any minute the person might return. Therefore, then you don't have to be chashish. Okay, anyway, whatever the echatimt is, there was no problem of non-kosher ingredients. Now, says Imam, what happens if I have a reversal? What's a reversal? The goy was the one that put it down on the coals originally. And now it's the yid that came, and he was the one that turned it upside down and over on the coals. Ma, what's the din? The original putting it down on the coals, that was 1%, 2%, 5%. That wasn't enough to make this piece of meat edible. So we said on the Amud Aleph, as long as the yid is the one that started off the cooking process, even though the Oivik Chav might have done 50 or 80% by being Mahapachit, makes no difference. Still considered to be the kosher and not a problem of Bishalach. So Nachma Yitzchak says, so L'choyah, it should work in reverse as well. What reverse and what? That if the Oivik Chav only did that first 5 or 10%, and now Gombe Ad Yisrael, now the yid is the one that finished it off because he was Mahapachit, then L'koshkin L'chavad and Abadah, that this is essentially Bishul Yisrael and not considered to be Bishul Ak. And the Gemara goes even one step further. It manami Amr B'chana Amr B'yoychanan V'yamil Amr B'achabah B'chana Amr B'yoychanan Bein Shinich Avicham B'hafach Yisrael. Sign a case where the Avicham was the one that put the meat on the coals, and it was Yisrael that was Mahapachit. Bein Shinich Yisrael B'hafach Avicham, that Yisrael was put it down on the coals and the Goy was Mahapachit. In all cases, Mutter. It takes away, as long as the Yid was participating at some point in the cooking, it takes away the Bishul Akam concern. The only time it would be also would be if from now Parshat Pshat the Lashon Tchilase VeGomer means that the beginning and the ending was done by the Goy. So what happens to if the Goy does the first 5%, he does the final 5%, but the 90% in between was done by a Yid? So the Mefarshim don't know, you have to understand the word Tchilase VeGomer, it doesn't mean the beginning and the end, it means from beginning through the end, from beginning to end. That's the only din would be the Bishul Hakim, that the Goy was in charge and did the cooking from A to Z, from 1% to 100%, no Jewish involvement whatsoever. Today, we have the head to many of the kashrus organizations. When they have a shaylah Bishul Hakim, they have a Jew who goes and lights the stove every single morning or whatever, and therefore he's the one that started the cooking process. And then they rely on that for afterwards, even though the rest of it is done by the goyim and by the machinery, as long as the Jew is the one that lit the oven at the very beginning. Anyway, if you want to know more details, wait until Rabbi Cohen gets to the Four Shleiman, he will return, and you can, I'm sure he will be happy to discuss this with you in great detail. Anyway, Amar Avina, Hilchas, what's the halacha? Harifta, the Shogar Avikachav, be off of Yisrael. Now, what we're basically we're doing is we're repeating the same halacha, but instead of talking about cooking, we're talking about now baking. Harifta, the Shogar Avikachav. Shogar Avikachav is that the Goy was the one that heated up the oven. So Harifta, this bread, where the Ovid Chum was one that heated the oven, the offer Yisrael, and it was the Jew that baked it. In other words, he was the one that put it in the oven, and he's the one that turned it over and shoveled it in, shoveled it out, and all the rest. Inami, the other way around, Shogi Yisrael, the Yid was the one that heated up the oven by putting in the logs and putting on the pilot light or whatever, the matches to go and start the oven. The offer Ovid Chum, even though it was the Goy that was the one that actually did the baking. Or Inami, Shogi Ovid Chum, the offer Ovid Chum, the offer Yisrael, the Chote Bochituye, even though it was the Goy that heated the oven, he was the one that put the bread into the oven, but it was Yisrael that Chot B'chituye, he went and stirred up the coals, so he was also involved in the baking process. All to Shafadami, that's also sufficient for our purposes. So we have, although the Bishul Akam is a Chumad Rabbanan, the same Rabbanan said that, although, because the Rabbanan were the one that instituted that, they said as long as a Jew is involved in the cooking and the baking, I'm not concerned about the Gzeira of Bishul Akam. Now the Gemara continues on the Dag Maliach. This is something that Shaul brought up earlier, that Dag Maliach, what happens if you're talking about fish that required salting, but once you salted it, you no longer have to go and cook it. So that's what he was talking about in the Sechtes Chulim. We're going to learn about the concept of Maliach Harihu Kibishul or Maliach Harihu Kiroiseach. We want to know whether if you had raw fish, and we're talking about raw fish that is inedible, not that you put into sushi and you can still eat it. We're talking about it's inedible Kimoishu Chai, so it requires processing, but it doesn't require cooking. It requires cooking or salting. And a goy came and he was the one that salted it. And now it's edible. is that also considered to be like a form of bishul, and therefore it's bishul akimitoser? Or do we say bishul means cooking, and it's not cooking, this is salting? Is a machlokes cheskir, b'yoychanan cheskir, shari b'yoychanan osa, machlokes. Similarly, b'yetzaluya, if you have a roasted egg, and this roasted egg, points out Rashi, means not that you cracked open the shell and then you fried it or roasted it, but we're talking about a case where he left it in the shell. In some places, I don't know about today, but at least years ago, some people used to go and put an egg inside the shell in the chulent on Friday.
And then the shell dissolved.
And then, I'm sorry?
The shell dissolved?
That I didn't know that the shell dissolved.
It does.
Okay. Anyway, I never tried it out, but I have seen it Shabbos morning, still in its shell, but it's nice and brown and all the rest. So, whether you like it or you don't like it, some people used to do that. Apparently some people may still do that today. So here we're talking about a beitzaliyah that you left within the shell, and presumably you put it inside the oven or over the stove, but you were careful that it didn't break the shell, but it was tzolui. So the question is, whether there's din of bishul akum or not. So you're wondering, what difference does it make? Mitishel, undishel, undishel, mitishel. So Rashi says on the fourth line, bar kapara shori, hoyil, fifth line to the top, hoyil ubeliya oichel didei, because the oichel was nivla, it was like swallowed up within the shell, and the goy didn't even touch the food. In other words, maybe bishalaka means that you gotta touch the food. If you didn't touch the food, you don't even see the food. It's enclosed inside this shell. Maybe the lacha doesn't apply. And he took Timurtak as a machlok is bar kapon rebechana. Beyetz luya bar kapon shari, he says, mutter, the goy didn't even touch the food. Rebechana dosar, he said, hamaisi, he cooked it. So then it's awesome. So now, notice we have two machlokes, one by Dag Maliach and one by Beyetz luya. In both cases, Rebbe Yochanan is osar. Case number one, Chizki said it's mutter. Case number two, bar kapon said it's mutter. Ki osar, dimi, omar, echa Dag Maliach, the echa Beyetz luya, both Cheski Ubar Kapora were both Shari, for Rabbi Yochanan was the one that was Osar. So the Rabbi Yochanan Osar, that is Kluyal Moy, the Rabbi Yochanan Osar in both cases. The Machloik is now in Agimara is whether it was both Cheski and Bar Kapora that were matter in both cases, Dag Maliach and the Beit Kluya, or was it one by the Dag Maliach, just Cheski, or under the Dag the Beit Kluya was only Bar Kapora. So you're going to ask me, Vos is Mir Nafkimina? It's a big Nafkimina. The Nafkimina will be whether if we're going and now taking a vote on the Psak Halacha, or this is considered to be Yochid against Rabin. If it's Cheski and Bar Kapora that both say it's Mutter, and if Yochid is the only one that says it's Osir, it's two against one. On the other hand, if you're going to go and tell me that each case was a separate case, so then it's Cheski against Rabbi Yochid and one against one, and the Beis Luya again, it's one against one. As you'll see, that's how I'm just giving this to you as the Hakdama to next Gemara. It's Nochmo. Both Shari and Rabbi Yochanan was awesome. So Gemara tells us about Rabbi Chiya Parva. Apparently, he didn't want to eat milchik safleishik, so therefore, Rabbi Chiya Parva could be came from a place called Parva. Whatever, that was the name of Rabbi Chiya Parva. Ikla lebei Reish Kalusa. He came to the home, the palace of the Reish Kalusa. Omrulei, so they asked him, Beitzluya, my, what's the din of Beitzluya? Can you eat Beitzluya that was Nispashel al Yedei hu Akum? Omulahusi said, of course. Chizki bar kapara sharu. He learned like Rav Dimi said it was two. Rabbi Yochanan Osar, two against one. Main Varshalech, Mokim Shnayim, two against one. Abade, it's mutter, mutter, mutter. And now the Gemara is going to tell us a Maisa Noira. Omulah Rav Zvid was there and he said, going to Sisole, don't listen to Rabbi Chiya Parva. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Hachi Omer Abaye, Hilchus HaGabasid Rabbi Yochanan, that it's Osur. You're not allowed to eat Beyetz Luya from the Koyim. Says the Gemara Ashkiyuhu Neguta Dechala. There is the Ashkiyuhu that's talking about the Avodim who were in the palace of the Reish Kalusa. And you'd have from time to time in the Gemara that the people that worked in the Reish Kalusa's home were in Shidloi Mali, were not nice people. The Gemara refers to them from time to time as being bad guys. They were not happy with this psak, and they gave them a big, big goss full of challah. Challah means choymetz, of vinegar. And if you wonder what neguta is, you have a base here, and you see on the Sarisa Shah says, pirish koish shel choymetz, orach erach nagat. Anyway, so they gave him a nice, big goss full of vinegar. Presumably he thought it was Coca-Cola or something else. And he drank it. Nach nafshe and nabach nebach, he passed away Rav Zvid passed away from this.
So one is vinegar.
Sorry?
One is vinegar considered poison.
I don't try it out. But apparently, if you drink strong vinegar, Agam Sakos, Chas V'Sholem.
He was covered. He was a very delicate person. That's why it's called Parva. He couldn't have enough suspicion. And he's very strong. It's like a grumma. It's a grumma. It's like
what was the base of Parva? What was the base?
He was a magician.
The base of Midas.
It was
an Amgushi. Amgushi.
He's a magician who tried to come under to see the Huda and the Kodesh.
No, but what about the base they call it a base of
Parva? Because it was half on the Kodesh, half on the Chol.
Right. Yeah. So they named him after this
beautiful murder.
Whatever, never.
It was killing people. Just killing people arbitrarily.
Anyway, that's the Parshat Pshat in our Gemara.
These goons from the Beir Ish Musa. The Jewish guys, Jewish
stuff. I don't know if they were goons, but they certainly were not goyim. They weren't a Rav Agun.
They were tough guys. They beat up people.
All right. There's another Pshat in the Rishonim about this Beyatzluya. What is the Machloikis? The Machloikis is not because that they left the egg inside the shell, but it has to do with whether one can eat raw eggs without cooking Al Yedei Hadchak. As you know, they used to say, perhaps that's still the case today, that the Grois HaChazonim would go and eat and swallow raw eggs. We have to ask Reb Simcha, he would know about this. Going and eating raw eggs to go and improve their voice or their vocal cords before they would get up to go and daven. Some they say they did on Yom Kippur too. I can't believe that that's the case. Chulil b'chas, but anyway, bottom line is that's achilei de'etchak, and that's the machloikis between Bar Kapara and Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's osir, meaning it's stuck true that he was tzoylev, but just like we said in the Amud Aleph, that anything which is nechel k'moishu chai, then there's no din of bishulakim. So the machloikis over here is what about if it's nechel k'moishu chai b'tchak? In other words, it's not easy to go and take. Your average person cannot eat a raw egg. Average person, he looks at a raw egg and says, he probably looks upon it with disdain and says, how can I possibly eat something like that? It's repugnant. But other people can eat it. A chazan can eat it. So therefore, that's the machloik, is whether it's considered to be moshul chai or nish.
And going on the base of Midrash, he ate from the moor.
Yeah, okay.
He wasn't finicky, he was hungry, he ate from the moor.
Yeah, absolutely.
We had a case where he had to eat.
Koyin Data Yofen, yeah, exactly. Anyway, so the Poetus Yosef in the back of the Gemara wants to say that the word Noch Nafshe doesn't mean that he passed away. No, Noch Nafshe means that Rav Zvid was concerned about how the Reish Galusa was going to handle this, whether he's going to paskin the Isser or paskin the Heter. Thank you very much. And the reason why the Gemara talks about giving him challah to drink, to giving him chaymetz, because chaymetz is not the normal type of thing that people can drink. Some people can drink it al yedei hadchak, and therefore they wanted to go and show him in a very mysterious way. Here we're going to go and give you to go and drink the chal yedei hadchak, and therefore you're going to realize that it is edible or drinkable al yedei hadchak. And therefore, what they were doing by cooking this beitzli was unnecessary, and therefore it should be kosher. And that, therefore, v'noch nafshe doesn't mean that he passed away. V'noch nafshe, that means like v'noch date. When he heard this, okay, he was satisfied. He said, just like I'm able to go and drink this beverage, ayideh chak, apparently you can eat a beit zli, ayideh chak, oibazoy, then it's taka kosher. Anyway, you look at the Peiris Yosef in the back of the Gemara, wants to give this very original pshat in the Gemara. What we do is, my benayah, the nafkimin, it would be that Rav Zvid Baruch Hashem would still be alive, and he wouldn't pass away from drinking the challah, nor noch nafshe, that Baruch Hashem, he was satisfied by their reaction and by their answer.
And then Rav Zvid, the Rav Chia Parva, right?
Rav Chia Parva, Rav Chia Parva, Rav Chia, no, Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid was the one that led to Sisa. Omlu Rav Zvid led to Sisa, they don't listen to Rav Chia Parva. I'm telling you, halacha kibosli,
the
Yoichanan.
They served the Chaldi.
They wanted to go and remove Rav Zvid from the scene, because he was making a scene, and he was saying it's not kosher like Rav Chia Parva says. It's treif, metunish esen, it's bishalakim. So they gave him this neguta de chala to remove him from the scene. Anyway, turn it about. All of them are mutarim. The Yetzluya is Asura. Now what are these Kafrisim, Kaflutos, and all the other wonderful things? So each one of them has a separate translation. Kafrisim, says Rashi, if you look at Rashi about 10 lines from the top, Shoimer the Prihaim Mimin Tzlaf, something called a tzlaf tree. I think the article thinks it's called it a caper berry or something like that. I know what a caper berry is, probably you do. people eat these caper berries when they are raw. But yes, it's organized and some of them go and cook it. Then Bishlo may become it's mutter because it's nechal kemoishu who chayts. Even though there are some people that cook these berries, but they are edible when they're raw. Kaflutus, is Rashi, is karsi. Ulta nechal kemoishu in chayim. Karsi, they say, is leek. And therefore, leek apparently can be eaten when it's raw. And therefore, even though it's cooked, it's no problem. Now, matlia. Now, what is matlia? Says Rashi, Gemara, Mefarish, the common Mefarish. We're going to see that in Mechim, another two lines, Gemara is going to address what's the matlias. Vachamen. Chamen means cooked up hot water. You took water and you put it in a chaynik and you heated it up, and now it's hot. Ein boy mishum bishul akim. Why not? Because, says Rashi, ein mishtanim mibriyosim al yideya or. We had this for at the end of yesterday's Gemara. Even though you've heated up, it's still the same water as before. It's not cold water, it's hot water. But nothing has changed. Therefore, the goy didn't do anything. It's not considered bishalach. V'hakloyes. We had kloyes also yesterday. Kloyes means that you take raw wheat kernels and you put it in the fire to roast or toast them. But this is not considered to be nishtana. It still exactly looks exactly the same as before. Instead of being moist, now it is hard. It's now dried out. That's not considered to be bishal. All of these things are mutar. Be'etzluyas asura. And that's like Rabbi Yochanan said before. We have a right to Rabbi Yochanan from this. Right, so it's clear to us. Shemen, what's the din of Shemen? Oh, Shemen, we had a long discussion already yesterday. Rabbi Yudah Nasi, the really Rabbi Yudah Nasiya, Ubeiz Dina his Bez, and Dimnu Olavi Tiru, and they were mad to the Shemen. No problem. Okay. Tanya, let's go back to this Matlia. Here, Matlia. Wus is Matlia. Matlia is the same thing as Fishlaya, and the same thing as Yishiyosa. It's already been 40 years since this story happened, came out of Mitzrayim. It happened 60 years ago, this story came out from Mitzrayim. We're not talking machlokes, he thought 40 years and he thought 60 years. In other words, when did they repeat this story? The first story, first version, it was repeated 40 years after they came out of Mitzrayim. The second version, it was repeated 60 years after they came out of Mitzrayim. We don't mean Yetzias Mitzrayim in the times of the Jews. We mean that this story emanated from Mitzrayim. And therefore we're saying it happened 40 years ago. And then this was repeated 20 years later when it happened 60 years ago. But it's exactly the same story. Just a question when this story was repeated. Okay, so what was this story? That Maisa Bizra de Karpasa, Ubizra de Kisna, Ubizra de Shuvilta, Vitorulu Badi Adodi, Bepshuri, Vishovkule Ad de Makabal, Umaisi Hatri Hadati, Molu Maya, Vitorubu Gagishta, Umadikin Bay, Faila Bay Boni, Adanaki Belavlavi, the Achlamin Ayu. Oh, we're talking about something which seems to be miraculous growth within a very short period of time that people used to go and eat and drink from when they came out of the Beis Americas from the Schwitz, and they needed something to cool themselves off. So what did they do? Maize they brought bizra. The word bizra is like the word zera, means seeds. The karpasa. Karpas normally is translated like celery, like you have karpas on the Seder night. Ubizra means a zera of kisna. Kisna is a flax. These are flax seeds. Even today you can go and buy flax seeds in the store. Ubizra is shavlilta. Shavlilta, says Rashi, is something Rashi says fenugreek, and in English it's called fenugreek, or to some sort of spice, I guess. So you have the fenugreek seeds. You take these seeds of the karpis, of the kisna, and of the shavlilta, and put them all together, the tartaluhu ba'di adoni, and soak them all together, the pshuri, in mayim poishrim, in lukewarm water. The shavkale, and let them stand. Adim mekabel. What means the mekabel? Says Rashi, shetzoimchim, when you see that the seeds are starting to sprout. You see that they're starting to come out in the water. And what do you do then? Umaisi chatzvi chadati. Chatzvi means kriglich. Kriglich means like barrels or containers. Chadati, brand new containers. Umal umayin, fill the containers with water. The Torah buhu, and now go and soak these seeds that have already begun to sprout. And gargishta. Gargishta is a form of clay. Umidvikin bay, and now attach it with the clay to the seeds. The island, now bring it to Beibani into the Beis HaMerchitz. And enough, by the time you finish coming out of the Schwitz a few hours later, you'll see Malav Levi, In Eretz Yisrael, they have all the expression lavlov by the aruvis on sikkis. Lavlov means that they're ready sprouting leaves and they're ready. Ro'oi v'ochli minai, you can already eat from these seeds. Been a miraculous growth over a very short period of time. Why would people eat it? Because the kairi, it would cool off the body, made binsid rishayu from the hair on their heads, atufa de karayu, until their footnails on the bottom of their feet. Om Ravashi, so Ravashi said, Omali Rabchanina, Rabchanina told me, Milin. Milin means that it's all baloney, it's all nonsense. Rashi says, Divrei Kozav Haim. Ah! Loim Lavli Bechadishat, in a year and an hour or two, Meken Shemsh is also vaccine. Ah! It's out baloney. That is the first shot. The army law others say, Bim Milin. Rashi said, Bim Milin, that they use Kishif. They went al yedei divrei lacha shokshofim hein oisin am gemach the name zolduch vaksin. Under normal circumstances, this is impossible. It had to be through kishuf. Anyway, the bottom line is from this story that what do we see? That shiasa is a combination of these three form of seeds, which they go in to put into mayim poishrim, and then they add the clay and they let it grow. And this is the shiasa, which is a matliya, which is a pishlaya. All of that is the definition in that rice. Why is it considered to be non-bishul akum? Because they didn't cook it. They put it in lukewarm water and subsequently they filled it up with more water, but it was never cooked. That's why there's no din of bishul akum. Okay. Tanurban. Ha koisvan shel oidichom shehuchmu. Now, what is koisvan? Zogt Rashi in the koisvan. Psoilish shel tamorim sheosami hen sheikhar bechotel oisan. In other words, if you want a beer, if you want to brew beer, you can brew beer a number of ways, from hops and from barley, but also from tamarim and from dates. Aha. Okay, so once you squeeze out all the dates to go and brew the beer, whatever is left of the dates, that's the psoilis. That's something that can be discarded. But instead of discarding that, you add it to it, hot water, and now you have a psapsashtikal brew of the hot water with the residue of the dates. If it was heated up, chamin, it was heated up with hot water. If it's in a large pot, it's osur. It's mutter. In a small pot, it's mutter. What's the difference between the big pot and the small pot? We're going to see in a moment. The concern is whether this pot has in it any bliyos of non-kosher things. Maybe this big pot or small pot was used previously to go and make roast beef, some sort of roast, some sort of meat, and therefore if you're going to go and eat it, you're going to have bliyos asurais. If it's in a big pot, you don't have to worry about that they cooked it in a roast. If it's a small little pot, then you don't have to worry. Now the question is, why don't you have to worry? How do you define a small pot? Tzipa dror means a small little pigeon, small like a bird that people would hold at home. It's called tzipa dror because it flies around at home like a canary that people don't keep in their bird nests, but they allow it to go and fly around. That tzipa dror, it's very, very small. It fits into the palm of your hand. It's so small, that's why I'm not nervous about the fact that they went and cooked a roast in this small little pot. Even though this, the definition of Yerik Tan is kosher ain tzipa dror yochel b'konos. It's so small that you can't even fit in this small tzipa dror. But maybe you're talking about that the person shechted, or in the case of the goy, he clobbered this tzipa dror, killed it, and then itaka didn't fit. He cut it into small little pieces, and he inserted the pieces one at a time into the Yerik Tan, and therefore it does have treif and oblius. It is so small that even the keppel of the tzipa dror cannot go into it. In other words, it's a very, very, very small opening. You can go and heat up hot water in it, yes, but that's about all that you can do, because nothing solid can go and be inserted in it, and therefore you don't have to worry about the bliyos asuras. But I have a braisa that says the achz yerik tan is mutter, that even if it was a yerik doyla and you made it in this koisvon shel oivik chavim. Koisvon again means that you took the residue of the dates and you poured hot water on it. Even a big pot, it's mutter. Why am I not worried about the bliyos of the pot? We had this already a couple of days ago in the Gemara, that any type of koish pot after 24 hours, not only by Goyish Patzim, by Jewish Patzim. But the point is, anything where you previously cooked and you haven't cooked in it for the last 24 hours, whatever blias are inside, is noisy dam gam, is a machloik, is mutter, osir, and therefore the brisa that says, achas yoyi gedoyle, achas yoyi tan is mutter, holds noisy dam gam is mutter. So you're going to say to yourself, why do I have to have two sets of dishes, one fleishigs and one milkers? I can go and take all the fleishig dishes, or my fleishig pats, and not use it for 24 hours, and I can use it because we have a rule that ain't the vatlin isilchat chila, ain't a chanami nishin davon gam is mutter, but it's only mutter b'diavet. It's not mutter chila. So therefore, if a goy cooked up this tamarim, the residue of the tamarim, together with the hot water, and he cooked in this big pot, you can assume that it was cooked out, cooked in a pot that had already been cleaned out and put aside for 24 hours. If it's noisy davon gam, and therefore it would be mutter.
Why, I understand you say it's together, but why, I hear 24 hours is usually a Jewish thing if you're not sure, you wait, you hold as a problem. Why would the guy, since you're talking about household cooking of the guy, why would you say there's a 24 hour suspension for receiving?
It's nothing to do with goyim and yidin. It has to do with how long are the blios inside the pot effective to add good taste, or are they so ineffective that they add a bad taste and can go and machkalia the brew. The Gemara is saying, within 24 hours, this thing is still fresh. Take, for instance, if you have a piece of cheese or a piece of fish. If you leave it outside the refrigerator for 24 hours, what will normally be the status of that cheese? Because it depends on whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish.
No,
that's the metzias. The metzias of blias inside the wall of a kli is, for the first 24 hours, it's still quote-unquote fresh. After 24 hours, it's no longer fresh, and it's pogame a mach. Amr Sheshes, Hai Mishcha Shalika de Armoi Osir. Now Mishcha, like the Lashon of Shemen HaMishcha, that means oil. Shalika, that was cooked. A person cooked oil inside a pot, a goy, Osir, you now let it go and eat from it. Omer of Safra, so Safra says, I don't know why he can't eat from it. L'may Nechesh, what's the chashash? Imishami Ruvei, maybe I'm worried about that he poured into it, L'mushal, some wine, says Rashi. Mr. Sorry, this is not Kalyamach, and it's only going to cause a stench, it's going to cause this to be a bad product. It's not going to add to the taste, it's only going to make it worse. Imishami Shulav Yichom, you're worried about that you cooked Shaman, Nechol Kamoshu Chai. You could have taken the raw oil, like people use it today for dips. They put it on their salad dressing, or they put the chal and they dip it into the oil. So you don't need to cook it, it's Nechol Kamoshu Chai. If you're worried about that it was cooked in a tray for pot, the assumption is that this pot was not used for 24 hours before, and so therefore any time that would be given with Nechol Kamoshu Chai. And therefore, Rav Safra Paskins, but he disagrees with Rav Sheshes. Wait a minute, Rabasi, that's what Fasi. Hani Ahini Shaliki Darmoi Mai. What about these famous ahini? Ahini, says Rashi, are tamarim. These are dates, which were cooked by the Goyim. Mai, what's the loch? Can I go and eat from those cooked dates? Choyli loitiboyla. Choyli over here means that it's very, very musuk. It's very, very sweet. Loitiboyla tavadi shor. That's avadit's mutter. Why is avadit mutter? Says Rashi, because these dates, since they're so sweet, the nechal kamoishu chai. And therefore the bishul is garnished, like we said in the Amud Aleph. Marina, if it's very, very bitter, and you need the cooking, like the Badi Asiri, because you can't eat it in its marirus, you need the cooking to go and take away some of that bitterness. What's the shayla mitzioimai? In between, it's not very sweet, it's not very bitter, it's azoi mitl. So now the question is, says Rashi, it's nachal chai al yedei hachak. You could eat it, most people wouldn't, but you can eat it if you're desperate and you're really hungry, you can swallow it down. Is my Amalu, mighty boy, what's the shalom? To Rebbe Osa, Rebbe Asard. Now the Rebbe we're talking about is not Rebbeinu HaKadosh, but Rebbe Umana. Who's the Rebbe that I'm referring to? Levi. Levi already passed him that this is Taka Osir, because since it's only Nechal Ayidei Chak, so the Bishul did accomplish something. Since it accomplished something, that's why it's Osir. And this would be consistent with the Pshat that they said by the Bey Etzluya, the other Rishonim that learned that the Pshat is because it's only a Bey is Nechal, only Nechal Chai Ayidei Chak, says Rabbi Yochanan, it's Osur. So here too, says the Gemara, it would be awesome, because although it's Nechal Ayidei Chak, but it's not easily edible, only Ayidei Chak. Good. What about the famous shtisah? You're wondering, what's the shtisah? So Rashi, tavshilo osui mi kemach shel kloyos. Rashi, about 12 lines in the bottom of the omid. Tavshil, which is made from kemach shel kloyos, they took the roasted or toasted kernels of grain, and they made it into kemach, into flour, and now they made from that agan tzemach, like a shikl farina of some sort. And as we'll see in the Gemara, it wasn't only from the flour of chitim musa'oyrim, wheat and barley, but you could also make it from lentil flour. And you would go and cook it. Shishtisa, Rav, Shari, Rav said, Smutav, with the Shmuel Velevi Asi, they said that it's awesome. Bechitim asari, kuli amalei pligi de Shari. If you're talking about Bechitim asari, everybody holds that it's mutter. Why? The concern over here, says Rashi, was whether or not they would go and add choymitz, vinegar. And if a goy would add vinegar, you always have to worry about the vinegar may have been wine-based. And if it was wine-based, at the time that it was wine, it was very awesome. Al stamyenu mori ayinasach, and even though it becomes choymitz, it doesn't lose that iser that it previously had.
Well, but what, in addition to, but why not? Why should it, as soon as the shinui,
it's more acid, pocket isura, just because you went and cooked it, becomes awesome. If I have tray for meat, and I go and take the tray for meat, and I cook in the kosher pot. Oh,
the whole problem of wine once it becomes chometz, they're not going to use it for yai nesach.
It's true, but since originally it was osur mishum yai nesach, the fact that they go and cook it now doesn't take away the original iser. So over here too, if I have the shtisah, and I'm worried about they adding choymitz. Now, why do they go and add choymitz? Rashi says, as a result of toasting the kloyos, it gets a sweet taste. It gets a sweet taste. Now you made it into kemach. It's sweet kemach. So it's a little bit too sweet. What do you have to do? You have to go and put in some vinegar to kind of tame the sweetness. Aha. If you're talking about b'chitim sarikul yamal pli yinishari, why is that mutter, says Rashi? Because it wasn't the derech to add choymitz to the chitim sa'oyrim farina that was made from the kemach of the cloth. The tilvachi de chala, kuli amal pli yiliyasa. If it's tilvachi, which is lentils, and it was cooked up with choymitz and about its aser, because the choymitz has a din of yai. Kipli with machloik is if it's tilvachi de maya, that they went and cooked these tilvachayim, these lentils, lentil kemach, flour of lentils, in water. So nothing wrong with putting it in water. If the goy cooked it in water, it's a machlekes. Why is it a machlekes? Massive, because it's hard to hot. If I'm going to allow for water lentils that was cooked, you're going to say that's mutter. People are going to go and say the same thing applies to vinegar lentils. Well, massive, I'm not going to. Because they were goyzer. I'm goyzer the chit v'sarim otu the tlofachayim. If I'm going to allow for lentils, people are going to allow for wheat and for barley.
The opposite,
I'm sorry. Right. If you're going to allow for wheat and barley, you're going to allow for lentils. I'm not goyzer. Omerav. Three ministry saw show the barzila hagilod and the double. We'll go off a little bit on tangent for a moment. We're talking about the shtisah. We had two types of shtisah that barzila hagilod sent to David. David the Melech was running away from Shaul and Avshalom. Sorry, for Avshalom. Thank you. And barzila hagilod was helping him out. And what did he give him? He gave Mishkav a place to sleep. Usafoy, so actually says he gave Kalim to use. Uklei Yoitzer, clay Yoitzer things to go and be able to cook, presumably, or manufacture things, or what have you. Chitim Usoyrim, wheat, barley, the kemach, and flour. The Kali, oh, Kali comes from the same word as kloyois, right. The toasted, roasted grain. Upol, and beans, vadashim, and again, adashim are lentils. The Kali, and again, from Kaloyas. Right. Why did Kali repeat it twice in the same pasuk? So apparently the first Kali is related to Chitim Sa'oyrim, Kemach, that's the Kali that they made, the flour out of Chitim Sa'oyrim. And the second Kali was made out of Adashim, like we spoke about before. Good. Anyway, that's the pasuk and that's very Gishmak, but let's go back to the din of these Kaloyas of the Shtisah. Can you or can you not eat it? And nowadays, our minigins to come mafki tzani tzani l'shukir dinedor. They go and bring in baskets and baskets full of this shtisah to the shuk, to the marketplace in Edor. The less the chayish lo da'avu d'shmuel v'levi, and nobody's choishit for avu d'shmuel v'levi. Every basket like Rav, the Rav said shtisah is mutter, and nobody's machle avu d'shmuel v'levi. That is awesome.
The
Gemara doesn't address which of the two versions of the story, but everybody holds mutter, mutter lach, and meses. We'll stop over here. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai.